say that.
Well, good morning on this cold morning.
Hey, Rob. This is Tony, and Keith is here too, our branch manager, and Mike is coming in a couple minutes. He's on a call quick.
And sure. Lisa is sick.
Yeah, and our CA Lisa's out today. She's sick, so
I was asking
I was asking if we should postpone the call a week because Lisa's not here, but I talked to Cindy, and Cindy said no, just, you know, she can listen to the recording afterwards, so.
That's right. Okay. Well, good. Well, how was the week, and what's on your mind?
Well, obviously, we're still kind of trying to grapple the segmentation part of things, which is the first step, right? So, we have the book broken down a bunch of ways, and Keith and I were just talking about what we would do with some of these smaller households, which is kind of an issue at Morgan. It's not the easiest thing to get rid of $150,000 households. You can't just move them to the advisory center without them having online access and emails, a lot of which these clients don't have. And plus, there's certain accounts that you're not even eligible to move, like SEPs and things like that. So we're trying to figure out the best way to do that. But we've got over 240 households below 250,000. So that, you know, for us is obviously an issue we have to get resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I really don't – an awful lot of those people, okay, I mean, I've got – I don't know the actual percentage, but I with the market going up as much as it has, I just go in, call a client who's got, I don't know, between, 200 and 300. And these are people, they're all, and I'm looking at, I probably have, maybe 30, 40, 50 of these. They're all paying me 1%. And I just tell them, let's not think that you're smart because the market goes up. You know what I mean? When the market goes up, everybody looks like a genius. That's not necessarily the case. But by the same token, some clients that you've had for a long time, I mean, in my case, 35 years, and the money's going to be going to their kids and things like that, and I see where the kids have money, but it's not here yet and stuff like that. And I just tell them, look, I'll go in and I'm just going to rebalance your portfolio. And a lot of these people, I don't think they even know what the hell they own. And so I just go in and I make a couple of adjustments, and it's not like it's very time consuming. What Supernova is helping me do, and my apologies, it's Mike Barsky, the one who's been here for 42 years, is I've really, I've been doing, I read the book, I read most of the book. And, I have a 1.6 coming in, and I have a 1.2 coming in from the government. And I have a phone call today into somebody who just left me, and he has $4 million. He died. He was with us for 10 years. He died. He had cancer, and I'll be on the phone with the son. And I just keep bringing in new money. And if the new money is between 250 and 500, and it's an add-on to a father who's 500 to 600, well, I kind of feel a responsibility to that kid at 250 to 500, because it's because of the father who has the 600 that introduced me to the one that the 250, and my business just keeps growing, and this doesn't take up a lot of time. I have my eyes set on the big fish, but the little fish help pay my bills. And I know how I'm trying to focus and refocus this, and I'm trying to implement this. It's just hard to do so fast, I guess. And so those are just the things that I'm realizing as I'm reading this book and as I'm going through my day-to-day stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've read the book, that's the leap of faith. Supernova grew out of tremendous frustration with a more is better world. And so you can't, if the more is better world you're happy there, and there's no level of frustration, then supernova, you know, you're basically not ready for supernova. There has to be enough pain that it's worth basically getting a divorce. If you don't have that degree of pain, then you're probably not ready yet.
Right. So part of the book, you know, in fact, I stayed up last night till 1 a.m. because I wanted to read it again. And part of it, you know, when the supernova is implemented in a practice, part of how they grow is to continue to raise their minimums. So you may have, like, for instance, let's say we start at our minimum is 500,000. Per the last call, we talked about a minimum of 500. And then 2 years from now, we're bringing in more bigger clients, and now we raise our minimum up to 750. And we're growing by having our average household be larger, as opposed to just taking on new households, right? That's the way it's supposed to be done, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so is it possible to start out, like, again, let's just say we have, let's just say there's 200 of our 560 households that are below 250,000, where number one, we're not even getting full comp on those people. The vast majority of them we're not even getting full grid because the way Morgan Stanley has changed the compensation plan. By getting rid of, even if we implemented just a $250,000 minimum household, to get rid of the vast majority of those 200 plus households that we're not making money on, and, you know, it's a third of our book. At that point, if we see the value in, at that point, we've reduced our book size by a third. So we have more time to have more conversations with the bigger clients, bring in more assets from the bigger clients, do more planning and so forth. We can continually go from there and instead of 250, next make it 400 or 500 or whatever we want to do. And over time, a little slowly, as opposed to just doing it right in one shot. Like, if we did 500,000, we'd be getting rid of, 350 of our 550 households, which is a pretty significant, like, for us, that's a drastic step to do immediately.
Sure.
So as opposed to doing that, wouldn't it for us, at least for our comfort and to make it a little easier for us, to start out a little slower by just clipping the 250 and below and instituting that, and then as time goes on, raise it from there?
Well, remember, your absolute minimum isn't what clients that you're going to keep. It's the clients that you're going to be taking in.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say your absolute minimum is, I had 600, but let's say it's 500, okay?
Okay.
You're just not going to accept any new clients less than 500,000. So that way, it's kind of like you say, okay, I use the analogy of suits, right? That you have 50 suits in your closet. You wear, you know, six of them. And, you say, why do I have 50 suits? It's crazy. So you get it down to where you have 20 suits, right? Still only wear six. But if you're going to buy a new one, you got to get rid of the old one, okay? So you never bring one in that's worse than the ones that you already have in there, right? You wouldn't do that. So you make sure that they meet your minimum. And minimum isn't always just assets. Your minimum, there's 11 screens to determine people that you want to have. Here's the way to think about it.
Rob, it's Keith. Can I interject for a second, please? As you may know, working with Tim Burns, our focus is net acquired assets for the complex. And what Tim did recently, I mean, literally the other day, is send a spreadsheet out to all the FAs showing their net acquired assets over the last 8 years.
Yep.
And, I mean, I've known this, and I've done this exercise with the FAs on the 101 down through the years. And my biggest problem, like every other senior manager in the firm who has tenured FAs, is the amount of assets that are going out the door from distributions. And Mike and his group is a perfect example. Over the last 8 years, net, because of distributions and ACATS in and ACATS out, obviously, this group has lost $72 million. And it's been my argument that, again, the whole thesis behind Supernova is to contract, get rid of that dead weight, and bring in bigger assets to stem this flow of assets going out the door. Is that a good argument?
Keith, it's a great argument. It's logical. But what we're dealing with typically is not logic. It's emotion.
Right.
Okay, because, you know, I mean, it's hard. I did it. I did the more is better world. I spent my brother retired from Merrill Lynch 2 years ago. And you'd think with a brother that wrote the book, he would have done Supernova, right? He didn't do Supernova till like a year and a half before he was going to retire. And he didn't actually do Supernova. He just converted his practice from transactional to fee-based. And he was doing like, you know, 600,000. He immediately went to like 1.8 million in production. And everybody said yes, you know. And he called me and said, why didn't you make me do this earlier? I would have had a much better career. I said, well, if you'd used Supernova all over, you would have had a much better career. You know, you can tell people what is logical and what's the right thing to do for everybody. But getting people to do it, that's the hard part. So they have to experience it themselves. Now, the way you get people to like Supernova is by calling people every month. The people that have the money, the people that if you lost, it would hurt you. Okay? So the top 20% that give you 80% of your revenues, that's who really needs Supernova. We do it for the rest or the other 80 or 100 or whatever you choose in order to have them grow to be our top 20%. And we want to give them that experience because they can refer business to us and all. But we want to retain that top 20% because if we lose one of them, we're dead. Okay. Now, when you have a book that's as mature as Mike's, because, you know, people he opened accounts with were older and 20 years older, and now they're dying. So this is not unusual. Many of my teams have to bring in, I have a team that has to bring in $15 million a year, net new money. I mean, not net new money, but $15 million a year to break even because of all the people that are dying in the distributions. And, you know, whatever. So that's what the industry is faced with. So the question is, you know, if we're not bringing in new money because we're so busy handling small accounts, which fill up our day very nicely, we go home, we don't feel the $72 million going out because it goes out so gradually. It's like a frog being boiled in water. It just gradually gets boiled until it's dead. And that's what's happening in the industry. That's why we form teams. That's why we form partnerships. That's why we introduce Supernova, to make people wake up and realize that they've got to bring in large, new, younger clients, or we're dead, you know. So that's what we try and do. But, you know, I'm empathetic to the, you know, that was my first client. That was my, you know, it's a nephew of my great uncle and so forth. I mean, all those things But when you see the people that are really moving the needle, then that's usually your private banking group, your high net worth client, FAs, they have 50 clients or 20 clients, and they have very strict minimums, and they bring in a ton of business every year. Why? Because they're in the business of bringing in business. That's what they do. That's where they
right.
spend all their time.
So, Rob,
you know, they don't,
if you
know,
look at
so that's the game.
If you look at our business, I would say where we're really strong, I think, is in the $1 to $5 million space. I'm not saying we have a few clients above 5 million, but not a lot. I mean, a couple, okay? You know, and I say we're good in that space because a lot of those people are just your affluent people. There's not super sophisticated scenarios involved. And if there is, we have people to bring in. It's not that we can't handle it, but I'm just saying where 99% of our business lies is in that space, right? So, like, I had a meeting yesterday, and I actually mentioned that we were going through this process of you know, I explained it to the clients, and their first reaction was, do we have enough money to stay? And I said, yes. I said, you do. They had like 800 or 900,000. So they were relieved. And so for those clients, you know, they're retired, they're traveling, whatever. And I was thinking after the meeting, like, if I didn't mention the 12-4-2 because I didn't want to go down that road with them yet. But if I would say to them, we're going to schedule a monthly 20-minute phone call, I think they would say they don't want that. That's too much. And again, this mm-hmm. is an $800,000 household where, you know, they had money in a 401k, they had a little bit of taxable savings, and, you know, a lot of our clients fit in this mold, to be honest with you. So whether it's $800,000 or $1.5 million, they're the same. It's just a different amount of money. So my question is in that scenario where clients, they may not require a monthly 20-minute phone call, is it okay to say to them, we're going to touch base with you, even if it's like shoot them a quick email once a month and then just do a quarterly review on the phone and a semi-annual face-to-face, is that okay? Or what's the flexibility level on the 12-4-2?
Well, I mean, this is the argument, the A, B, C, D model. And we're not talking A, B, C, D, E, F, G model. You're saying, can we have two different levels of service? The question is, can you market two different levels of service? When you go to a center of influence and you tell them what you do, and they ask what your service model is, how are you going to explain it? Are you going to tell them that, well, if you send me somebody small, I'm going to call them quarterly, and if you send me somebody big, I'm going to call them monthly?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I would, just thinking about it, I'm not saying the 12-4-2 isn't a good idea. I'm just saying if the 12 is, as opposed to a phone call for every single client, some of which may not want or need that level of... You know, just to shoot them a quick email and say, like, hey, just wanted to check in, see how everything's going. And if, you know, let them respond and maybe you go back once or twice and that's it. Again, I'm just thinking about it, like, because I had this meeting yesterday, and immediately after the meeting, it occurred to me that if I would have mentioned a monthly 20-minute phone call, the clients probably would have said, we don't really even want that. Like, we trust you to do whatever you want, check in with us from time to time, but we don't want to spend 20 minutes a month, you know, because their situation doesn't change that much month to month, to be honest with you.
And this is, you know, this is not unusual. I mean, this is a normal reaction. And my suggestion would be to, how many clients do you guys have now?
560 households.
And that's split between two guys?
Yes. Mike has about 360. I have about 200.
Okay.
And 200 of them. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Over 200 of those are below 250. So that's the low-hanging fruit that would getting rid of a substantial amount of those would make sense, and we could do that fairly quickly. We have 300 households in the 250 and above range. So almost half of our book, or 40% of it, is below 250,000.
Okay, so if you, I mean, you got to kind of draw the line. What are you willing to do? You know, are you willing to get rid of those people less than 250? Yes. Okay. Or is that going to be a problem? Okay.
I think that's a good place to start, personally, but I mean.
Yeah. I mean, and then you say, okay, where are we going to draw the line on 1242? I mean, how many are you going to, how are you going to do that? I mean, you're kind of reinventing the model, which is okay. Look at your practice. You can do anything you want. My challenge is getting results for you.
Right.
See, they hire me to get results. They hire me to help you. They really hire me to help you grow. And if you're still too busy servicing existing clients, you're not going to have the time to grow nor the interest. Okay? So you've
right.
got to get skinny enough that you're kind of nervous. And you say, I got to bring in some clients. So it's a combination of things. So I don't mind. Look, if you want to say anybody under a million, between 500 and a million, I'm going to give them 4-1. Okay, I'm going to make them all butlers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, you know, all they have is rollovers. And they need quarterly, you know, they don't need much, right? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call them.
Even if you do 12-4-2, but the 12 is just, as opposed to everyone being a phone call, some of the 12 are just shooting them a quick email and just saying hello or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, So let's just say between a million, how many clients do you have over a million?
105.
So that would be like
102. We almost have the same amount above a million as between 500 and a million. It's a little over 100 on each category.
So that anybody over a million give you what percentage of your revenues?
It's 915 out of 1.7. So it's over half.
55%.
We do 1.3 on households above half a million. We do 1.3 out of 1.7. So it's a significant. I mean, it's way above 50%.
Okay, so I did 1.34 last year. 1.33 or something like that. And you did what, 4?
We're doing like 1.75. No, I did over 4.
Okay.
So we're doing 1.3 out of 1.75 above 500,000. So the vast majority of our revenues are above 500,000, and you know some of those clients have other money for sure. And getting more in depth with them would bring more money to the table for sure.
So if you each carved out 50 clients, right? You each have is that fairly evenly split or no? Is it 75-25 or how is that split?
On which category? The million and up?
A million and up, yeah.
Mike has more than me. I don't know the exact split. But, I mean, we're both on each other's books completely. It's just different splits. But of the 105 households, Mike is directly responsible and talks to those people more of the 105 than I do. Maybe it's 65-35 or 65-40, something like that. 70-35. I don't know the exact number. It's certainly more for him than for me.
Okay, let's say it's 65-40. My suggestion would be to start with the 65 and make them Supernova clients.
Okay.
So you take 40 and you make those Supernova clients.
Okay. So Mike's top 65 and my top 40.
Right. And then you eliminate everybody under 250 that, you know, isn't a child of your best client, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Just,
you know, rule of common sense, right? Trumps all other rules. So don't do something that's going to hurt your practice. Just do the, you know. So now you've gotten yourself down to a reasonable number of clients, and you're
right.
giving Supernova service.
Right.
Now the question is, after, let's say, 8 weeks, you get a feel for it. You know what's going on. And now we deal with the other whatever number it is. What's the, so that would be, well, you got rid of your small economy.
We would only be at low threes if we got rid of everybody below 250. We'd only be at like three, we would keep a couple below 250. So we'd be at 310 plus whatever we decide to keep below 250. So call it another 25. Maybe we'd be at 335 or so.
All right, that's 200 clients then, right? If you kept the 100 top, 6540, and then you got rid of the small, now you're dealing with 200 butlers.
Right, 250.
Or 250, right. All right, so now the question is, of that split, who has the most?
Well, Mike has the most in every category because, I mean,
all right.
You know, I mean, he's just been doing it longer than me, and he's got a bigger percentage of the clients than me. But so whatever category
right, so
we're talking about, he's probably got 65 to my 35 or something like that.
Now you're – all right, now you're – all right, so let's just say theoretically you each have 100 of that, okay, just to make – so Mike doesn't go crazy. And you call them quarterly, okay, that means – that you would each add 30 clients, the equivalent of 30 clients to your book. Okay, so Mike would then go to 95, the equivalent of 95 clients to call, and you would have the equivalent of 70 clients to call. Okay, because for every butler you have, it takes, For 100 butlers would equal 30 clients because you call them four times a year.
Right.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we're talking about, see, the key thing is time. So my question is, how do we find time for you to prospect? So with that model, you're within. You're less than 100 clients each in terms of time. And then you can argue and work it out in terms of whether or not the butler model is something that you want to continue or you want to make them into 1242s. But at least you're calling the people that are paying the bills on a regular schedule rather than, you know, whenever.
Right, rather than just random calls whenever they have a bond come due. That was another question. Like, so what if a client, you know, like in your book, obviously everything is scheduled. So Lisa would be putting folders on our desk every day of who we need to call. But what happens, obviously there's things that happen in the course of between calls, like a bond comes due or CD comes due or something. Where does that factor into, like, let's just say you have a call scheduled on February 15th, and February 10th, a bond comes due when you talk to the client. Like, or do you just wait till the 15th to talk about that bond? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, what would you do?
Well, a lot of clients want the money put back to work right away, so I'd call them when the bond comes due, but then I wouldn't probably call them 5 days later.
But don't you know the bond's coming due?
Yeah. 30 days out, you know. 30 days out, you know.
Of course. Okay, so right. What would you do? So what would you do then?
Schedule a call for the day after the bond comes due?
No.
I don't know.
You call. You do your regular call, and on there is the bond coming due, right?
Uh-huh.
You know the bond's coming due, and so you discuss it. And you say, what do you want to do? And you say, oh, I want to roll it over. You say, okay, when the bond comes due, I'll call you and we'll find a bond that fits. Because what you're doing is a transaction, right? Because you don't know what's going to be available until the bond comes due.
Right, right. So you're saying in that scenario, on the January call, you're knowing that the bond's coming due in February, and you're telling the client, you know, even though our call next month is February 15th, I'm going to call you on the 10th because the bond's coming due and we'll reinvest.
That's exactly right.
Okay, got it.
So now see how organized you are now? So your agenda for that client includes a number of different things, right? Anything that's going to be happening within the next month or two or three is going to be on the agenda.
Right.
So now you get his agreement. Now you're not selling him on rolling it over. You know it's going to roll over. So transactional business can work fine with Supernova. You just do more than 1242, that's all.
Right.
That's why transactional business is inefficient, but customers like it because you call them a lot.
Right. Okay.
All right, so you're probably gonna give that guy 48.42.
Okay.
Good question, Phil.
Rob, when should they send out the sample letter introducing the new service model?
Well, I like, Keith, I think that's you talking. I like to use the five time rule. It's so funny. You know, I was just over at my country club and they were sent out a survey to get people to come back and they said, you know, we've been sending out notices and emails and da 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 and God, you know, half the people don't even know the survey went out. I said, well, you got to use the 5-time rule. And they said, well, we're going to use the 7-time rule, you know. So the answer is you tell them as many times as you need to for them to understand what's going on. People do not understand. Look at you guys. I mean, you've read the book. You've talked about it. You've thought about it. You still are trying to digest it. But it's only week two. That's normal. I had the 5-time rule as a manager. It wasn't the FA's responsibility to understand a new idea or product unless I had presented it 5 different ways. And you think, that's crazy. No, people are busy. People are distracted. People are doing a lot of different things. So the answer is you call them and you tell them. When you meet with them, you tell them, you show them the folder, you go through the folder, show them what's in it. You talk about the schedule. You even give them their schedule for the year. And then you send them a letter. And then you call them and remind them what you're doing and why you're doing it. Maybe you send an email reminding them why we're doing it. Your next appointment is on the 20th. That's when we'll start this. You call them. You tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it. This is your folder. This is how you do it. This is where you put the, you know, this is where you hold your questions. You write your stuff down in the note player. In the back, and if you have questions during the month, write it down, then I'll answer them. I'll send you an agenda. If you have something to add to the agenda, please send it back to me, and I'll include it in the agenda if you have questions. I just went through this, you know, myself. You know, my FA sent me an agenda. I had 4 things that I wanted to cover. I sent her an email back with the 4 things. She then went through and adjusted the agenda and executed on the 4 things that I wanted to discuss. Then we discussed them. Then she sent me an executive summary of what we were going to do. So it's very efficient. And you get a lot done. One of the big challenges, you guys know, you know, is when you're doing business with clients that are busy, it's hard to get them to do everything that they're supposed to do. Hard to get them to fill out forms, hard to get them to do financial planning, hard to do estate planning, hard to get them to sign up for second to die and insurance and other things. This will help. The agenda helps. The call helps. The executive summary helps because you put in who's going to do what by when. So you get much more compliant. And understand, you're educating the client. So be patient. And teach the client what they're supposed to do. They're taking on a new role and responsibility. Just like being on a committee on a board of directors. They don't know what to do until you tell them what their job is. So your job is to be there when I call, have your folder there, have questions, look at the agenda ahead of time. If we're going to talk about long-term care, to read over the long-term care, and then we'll talk about it and see if it applies or it doesn't apply. So, you know, there'll be an educational topic on every call, so we want to educate you so you know what, you know, we're all smarter at the end of the year than we were at the beginning. So it's a very, it's a new process for them, so don't expect them always to be terribly excited. Sometimes they are. The majority, it'll be about a 90-10 rule. 90% of your clients will be ecstatic that they hear from you more. 10% will be like, I'm good with quarterly. Well, if you've got an $8 million client, you do not want them to be on quarterly, okay? Because they can still, I just had this happen in the call before this. The one, another one of your associates, right? This morning, they said, you know, I called the guy and I introduced 1242 and we had a nice discussion. Turned out he sold his business and I didn't even know about it. Okay? So the second call turned out the wife had breast cancer and I never even knew about it. He said, you know, this is crazy. I don't know what I was doing, basically. So you're going to learn a lot, and your clients are going to like it a lot, but you got to talk them into doing it. You cannot say quarterly is fine.
Okay.
Okay, because if for your best clients, quarterly is not fine. Look at that. Person had breast cancer, and another one sold his business, and the guy didn't know. Okay, that's crazy.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So this is about financial planning, implementation of the planning process, full implementation of the planning process. So you're talking about liability management, mortgages, all kinds of stuff. You're not talking about performance. And that's very little to do with Supernova. Nothing really.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll have Lisa listen to the recording for today,
sure,
since he's out, and then we'll, you know, hopefully she'll be here next week and be a part of the call.
Now, on the four ones, the only way I'm going to let you get away with this is if you see that person at least once a year in person.
Okay. That's not a problem. That's not a problem.
A lot of people. It's not a problem.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay. All right. So we're going to be really conscientious, and we're going to work our way out of the butler business over time, because we're going to bring in lots of big accounts, and then we're not going to be upset about getting rid of the small one.
Right.
And what we're going to do, I suggest we do, is to eliminate that 250. We'll form another JPN, put those accounts in that number until we have a more permanent solution with a call center or trainees. How's that sound, Rob?
Sounds great. You guys do what you want with the clients, so that's up to you guys.
Right.
I'm here to help you find time. Okay, you know, if we had all the time in the world, we'd take in every client that we could, but we can't. We end up, you know, when we were rookies, we could, but now we can't. We want $10 million clients, and in order to have the space for them, we need time. Okay, $5 million.
Rob, let's just say of the 200-plus households we have below 250, let's say 10% of them has significant money outside the firm, right? So obviously we want to try to get that before we just get rid of these people, correct? I mean, we don't want to just say below 250
right
out. I mean, have no problem, like, calling these people and explaining to them that we're changing our business model a little bit. We're, you know, reducing the number of clients and explaining to them in a nice, direct way that, you know, basically, we've got to get more money in the door if you want to maintain. I wouldn't say it that way, but that's ultimately what I'm saying. That is what we should do. Correct?
What you do is you call and tell them what you're doing. You share the good news. It's very client-centered conversation. Okay? We had a problem. What was the problem? Problem was we had too many clients.
Right.
Okay. And we weren't able to keep up the level of service that we that you've been accustomed to. Okay. That we value. So what we did, we hired a consultant. The consultant came in, looked at our practice, and helped us to rework our practice. And this is what we've committed to. Every client will get 1242. Every client will get multi-generational planning, the full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? They will say, oh, that sounds wonderful. How are you going to be able to do it? It's because we're limiting our practice to less than 100 clients each. And then they say, whoa, what does that mean? That means that for some, we're going to have to reassign them to others that will have more time to service them. And they'll say, what about me? I say, well, our minimum is, in your case, your minimum's about $5,000, right? $500,000 at 1% is $5,000. And you're only paying, right now you're paying, you know, $2,000. I don't really want you to pay $5,000. And they say, no, either do I. Okay, we'll find you a new home. And then, but they say, well, what's it going to take to meet your minimums? And you say, well, our minimums are $20,000. That's our target, but we are accepting clients, you know, that give us, you know, that generate about, our minimum's about, you know, $5,000 or $10,000, whatever it is. And they say, oh, okay, I can do that. You don't really want to bring in, you know, little clients that just meet your minimum of $5,000. You want to bring in larger ones. So if they can find another $600,000, great. The other $800,000 or $900,000, then that'd be fine. Okay?
Okay.
So we call that fill or kill. That's a fill or kill conversation. Fill the order or kill it, you know. And you're very nice about this. This is all client-centered, right? It's all about the client. Always talk about the client. What we're trying to do is we want to have a very high standard of service. In order to do that, we cannot service more than this number of clients. But that doesn't mean you're not going to get good service. You're going to get great service, just not from us because, you know, we've got to limit the numbers because we run out of time. And you can understand it. And they will. They'll understand it. So keep in mind, you set a $2 million target, okay? That's your target minimum. Your absolute minimum is $500,000. You cannot accept anything less than $500,000 going forward. That's the part you got to get in your head. And when you go to your centers of influence, you tell them that your minimum is $2 million or $20,000, okay? So wrap your arms around that, and you'll like it. You just have to, and you'll be delighted by how delighted your clients are. They'll be ecstatic. And you'll find out more, and it's just a wonderful experience for you. You know, I wouldn't teach this if it wasn't something that was going to make your life better. It does.
Okay.
Thanks,
Rob.
All right. Have fun.
Thanks, Rob.
Talk to you next week.